5% in the past year. On top of that, Western economic sanctions are keeping Russia from borrowing its way out of this mess.
A federal judge is ordering former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell to prison for 2 years for public corruption. Here's NPR's Jennifer Ludden.
McDonnell and his lawyer say they still believe in his innocence. He admits he accepted sweetheart loans and luxury goods from a local businessman, but says he didn't perform any concrete favors in return. The judge has ordered McDonnell to report to prison February 9th. He's asking to remain free on bail while his case is appealed.
McDonnell's wife, Maureen, is to be sentenced next month on 8 counts. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News, in Washington.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. On Narragansett Bay, a gale warning in effect from 1 o'clock this afternoon through tomorrow morning. Winds out of the west today, 10 to 15 knots, gusts up to 25 knots, increasing in the afternoon. High tide in Newport coming up at 9:03. Right now, it's 17 degrees in Providence, 18 in Westerly. Forecasters expect highs to only reach the low 20s and then the wind chill making it feel down to 18 below overnight. So a very cold night ahead. Sunny and still cold on Thursday. Highs in the teens, a wind chill as low as 19 below tomorrow morning. In sports, the Celtics are at Brooklyn tonight. The Bruins take on Pittsburgh. PC fended off Butler last night 66-62 for its first road win of the season. URI will host Fordham. That game is this evening. Support for Rhode Island Public Radio comes from Matunuck Oyster Bar, growing, harvesting, serving their own oysters and vegetables all year long, farm to table and pond to plate 7 days, lunch and dinner in South Kingstown, rhodeoysters.com, and the law firm of DeLuca and Weisenbaum, representing people who feel they've been injured as a result of medical negligence, dedicated to being Rhode Island's voice in the courtroom to promote a safe and healthy society, DeLucaandWeisenbaum.com. And Books on the Square, an independent bookstore in Wayland Square, Providence, offering a wide selection of books and special orders.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks. Online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. From Reputation.com, providing people and businesses tools to manage how others see them in online search results at Reputation.com. And from the Skoll Foundation, supporting innovative solutions to the world's most pressing problems with the Skoll Award for Social Entrepreneurship. More information is available at skoll.org.
It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Gina Raimondo was sworn in yesterday as Rhode Island's first woman governor on a frigid day on the Statehouse steps. Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay joins us for some analysis on the governor's inaugural address and the challenges ahead for her administration. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
So jobs and education were front and center in Raimondo's inaugural speech. Is this what you expected from her?
It was, because this is what she talked about throughout her campaign, the need to rebuild Rhode Island's economy and also to have a better educated workforce. And this has been one of her key themes since she first announced she was running.
It was awfully cold in front of the Statehouse yesterday. Temperatures in the teens, a light snow falling, starting to blanket the Statehouse lawn. It made for a beautiful scene. But, Scott, do you think it affected the ceremony or the speech?
Well, I do think she rushed through her speech a bit. On the other hand, I think she wanted the symbolism. You know, there's the first woman governor standing out there on the Statehouse steps, her hair flecked with snow. She had the Burberry scarf, wool scarf tied tight around her neck. And I think she wanted to show, with the Statehouse in the background, it was quite a scene, that she's ready to go to work. I think that was one of her messages, regardless of what the weather was like.
Former governor, now former governor, Lincoln Chafee, often said that government doesn't create jobs. So what do you think, Scott, that Raimondo can really do as governor to, as she put it, ignite a Rhode Island comeback?
Well, I think that the governors don't create jobs. And part of this is the political calculus. I've always thought, since I've covered politics, which I've been doing forever, as you know, that governors take too much credit for good economic times and then try to run away from bad economic times. What the government can do is set the table so that the private sector can increase jobs. Now, a good example is investing in infrastructure. I remember when Bruce Sondland was governor and insisted that we needed a modern airport there in Warwick at TF Green. Sure enough, he did that. It's things like that, investments in infrastructure and education, that a governor can influence the economy through.
Speaking of education, Scott, Raimondo talked a lot about the need for skilled workers to make Rhode Island more attractive to businesses, the need for good opportunities for children and families, but she gave few specifics about how she plans to achieve that. What do you expect to see from this administration on education?
This is fairly traditional. You know, when you give your inaugural address, it's kind of lofty. You're really talking about your goals, your long-term goals. Now, if you want to know a politician's priorities, show me his or her budget. In 6 weeks, we're going to see Gina Raimondo have to deliver to the General Assembly her spending and taxing plan. She didn't mention the word taxes, I don't think, once yesterday. She talked about jobs or the economy more than 20 times. So we're going to see in a few weeks what she plans to do about education, where she puts the money as far as higher education goes, as far as the K-12 system. That is how we're going to know what her priorities are.
There has been a lot of speculation about whether Raimondo will decide to keep Education Commissioner Deborah Gist or go with a new leadership for the State Department of Education. She said Gist is doing a good job, but she's also talked about reaching out to teachers and unions who don't really like Gist that much. What's the political calculus for Raimondo when it comes to Deborah Gist?
Well, this is kind of a pincher movement for her. A lot of the people who financed her campaign, the charter school folks, the folks who think that education needs to be privatized, are on one side, and of course the teachers' unions are on the other. Gist, regardless of the job you think she's done, and she's gotten good reviews in many quarters, particularly how much money she brought here for Race to the Top and the federal funding that entailed, but the problem is she's become a polarizing figure. So I think in the next few weeks you're going to see Raimondo talk to legislators, talk to the union folks, talk to some of the so-called education reformers, and come to a decision on just what you're going to do with Deborah Gist.
Now, Scott, you mentioned the budget, and now that the pomp and circumstance of the inauguration is out of the way, what is next to watch for? What will be the big tests for this new governor?
Well, there's two big ones coming up right away. First of all, how do we deal with a soaring Medicaid and health care caseload, which is really driving some of these runaway state costs with a high caseload, a lot of elderly people on Medicaid, and that seems to be really pushing the deficit higher than anyone would like it. The other thing I will look at is how she deals with some of these legislative issues. For instance, how Speaker Nick Mattiello is out there pushing his idea of exempting pensions and Social Security from state income taxes. Now, can you do that, given the river of red ink that's still running through the state budget?
Raimondo, in her speech, talked about government that's larger and less effective today than it has been in the past. She talked about making changes that may be uncomfortable. Was she preparing people for some difficult cutbacks?
Well, all we know about Gina Raimondo is that she will tackle the issues and go the way she feels she has to go. A good example, of course, is her signature achievement as general treasurer, which was the pension overhaul, which cut benefits to a lot of state employees and retirees. So we know that she's not afraid to take on the big issues. On the other hand, it's become kind of a cliche to say that government is more inefficient and ineffective today than it was years ago. We depend on the government all day. This morning when you got up, if you live in a city, you probably turned the faucet on and made some coffee. Well, the fact that you have clean water is because of the government. The fact that the roads got salted and plowed last night because of the snow is because of the government. So you have to be careful here. I think some of this is political chatter. It's kind of campaign rhetoric. It's part of the zeitgeist nowadays where people just don't trust the government.
And, Scott, we've already seen Raimondo take on her first act as governor. She signed an executive order yesterday. It called for ethical behavior from everyone in her administration, called for a point person on ethics in each office. What do you make of this?
Well, obviously, this is something that a lot of governors do. We've had ethics training, all kinds of things. In Rhode Island, I think a lot of people over the years have become a little cynical about government, not because it doesn't work, but because of self-dealing, because of corruption. We've seen this over and over again. You know, we had the State House raid on House Speaker Gordon Fox's office. So I think it's smart for a new governor to remind her people that you're here to serve the people, not your own interests.
And also yesterday, we saw the General Assembly begin a new session. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello was elected to his first full term as Speaker. How do you expect Raimondo to work with Mattiello and with Senate President Teresa Pivo-Weed?
Well, she doesn't have much of a choice. If the new governor wants to get anything done, she has to deal with the same old system at the State House, and that is the House Speaker, Nick Mattiello, who she's been trying to forge a relationship with, and, of course, Teresa Pivo-Weed, the Senate president. So you can't really, really change anything in a large manner without cooperation from the State House. We all know we have a weak governor system here in Rhode Island, and it depends on you building relationships with the state legislature. That's just a given.
And, Scott, there was a little bit of sadness yesterday on the occasion of Gina Raimondo's inauguration and the start of the new session. A member of the press corps was missing. Tell us more about
that. Yeah, at the press table yesterday, a very, very dour moment when a word filtered through the State House that Jim Barron, the longtime veteran reporter for the Pawtucket Times and the Woonsocket Call, died a couple of days ago. Very, very sad. He was a big, burly guy who was very intellectually honest and fair. He was a good writer. He'd been around for many, many years. And he punched way above the weight of the two small newspapers he worked for. He was an influential guy at the State House. People trusted him, both his colleagues in the press and the political folks that he covered. He was known as being fair, a good writer, and a very, very hard worker. And our condolences go out to his widow, Denise Perot, who also was a reporter for many years with the Woonsocket Call and later with Providence Business News. Very, very sad day at the press table at the State House yesterday.
You must have run into Jim Barron many times in your years at the State House. Can you share an anecdote from some of the experiences you had with him?
Jim Barron was a very funny fellow, and he was somebody who would just be flustered, and he'd be there pounding away on his keyboard. Political people used to, he was kind of like John Kiffney, the old Providence Journal reporter. He was somebody who you'd see like almost sleeping or reading the New York Times during a State House hearing. But nonetheless, somehow when he went downstairs and started writing, it all came out very, very well. He was a Syracuse journalism graduate, just like John Kiffney. They were close friends. And the interesting thing was about him was that he had a certain integrity, despite being curmudgeonly and a bit of a skeptic, as reporters do get over the years, a little skeptical. You've seen this. You've seen it all. But he always had an intellectual curiosity about him, and I think that's what made him a really good reporter.
Well, Scott, now that the inauguration day is over and the oaths of office have been taken, what's the most lasting impression that you're left with from yesterday?
Well, the most lasting impression I'm left with is the scene at the State House where we did see the torches being passed to a new generation of leaders, the first woman governor, Nelly Gorbea, Secretary of State. We have the first Latino person of Latino, though dissent, elected statewide office, first in New England to win any statewide office. And Seth Magaziner, just 31 years old, and seeing his proud parents, Suzanne Magaziner and Ira Magaziner, of course, a top aide to former President Bill Clinton. They live in Bristol. And as they're walking up the steps, I saw Suzanne Magaziner last night, and she said she almost broke into tears. She was so happy.
It was a day of firsts. I wonder, do you think, how significant is it that we now have a woman in the governor's office?
Well, it's interesting. We were kind of, as far as women in politics going, the backwater of New England. We were the only state before Raimondo won in our six-state region that had never elected a woman either to the governorship or to the U.S. Senate. So maybe Rhode Island's catching up with the rest of the region.
Well, Scott McKay is political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio. Scott, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and make sure you button up. It's a chilly one.
At Rhode Island Public Radio, we're funded by you, our listeners, also by the Providence Country Day School, where students accept the challenge to reap experience, confidence, and independence. Open class day Wednesday, January 14th from 9 to noon, providencecountryday.org. And Books on the Square, an independent bookstore in Wayland Square, Providence, offering a wide selection of books and special orders. More at booksq.com. Additional support comes from Matunic Oyster Bar, growing, harvesting, serving their own oysters and vegetables all year long. Farm to table and pond to plate, 7 days, lunch and dinner in South Kingstown. RhodeOysters.com. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM, WELH, the Wheeler School, Providence, 91.5 FM, WCBY, Coventry Public Schools, and 102.7 WRNI, FM and HD, Narragansett Pier.
In 2014, hundreds of Rhode Islanders died from accidental drug overdoses. For those who inject drugs, there's another risk, hepatitis C.
So if someone starts injecting, they have about a 50% chance of becoming infected with hepatitis C within 3 years. So that's a very high rate or risk of infection.
The final story in our series, At the Crossroads, tracks the sharp rise in new Hep C infections tomorrow on Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio.
Good morning. An Arctic blast is sweeping some very cold air from Canada into the United States and across the East Coast. It's Wednesday, January 7th. With Renee Montaigne on the West Coast and Steve Inskeep in Washington, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence with Rhode Island Public Radio's Morning Edition. Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell has achieved his lifelong dream of becoming Senate Majority Leader. We'll hear more of his story. And Florida's Governor Rick Scott was once a Tea Party favorite. Now his tone has shifted. Plus, ESPN has announced it will begin a streaming service. What that means for the future of watching sports. In Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo, the state's first female governor, was inaugurated yesterday. And our theater critic reviews morality play at the GAM Theater. It's 7:01. We begin with this news.
Mitch McConnell has his dream job. It's running the Senate, which almost any member can bring to a halt. The man who wants to make it work on Morning Edition from NPR News. His wife calls McConnell a creature of the Senate. He says he's hoping to pass bipartisan legislation. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Florida's governor was once a Tea Party favorite. Rick Scott shifted tone as he approached re-election and now starts a second term. We also report this hour on a settlement in Nigeria. Royal Dutch Shell will pay for oil spills and will pass through a doorway that leads from New York to Tehran. It's Wednesday, January 7th. This day marked the start of commercial.